Mayor, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We've bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media and our media environment. My name is Paul Reese and I'm your host, and producer Drew Tirico is at the controls. And today, it is our media environment that is the focus. We're going to pull back the curtain, as I said a moment ago, and look at media ownership in Champaign-Urbana. Stations seem local, but are they really? Are their owners local? And all that ad money. Is it staying here in Champaign-Urbana, or is it going off to such wonderful places like Grosse Pointe, Michigan? That is the subject of today's show. It is part one, I think, of a review, because there's a lot out there. We're going to look at newspapers and radio, and what you may hear may surprise you, so definitely stay tuned. Well, and before we get into it, I want to take a moment to please ask you to go to your phone, 359-9338, and make a pledge to WEFT, and also make a pledge to local public affairs programming like Media Geek, and also to the national public affairs and international public affairs programming like Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now! WEFT is the only place where you're going to hear, because it's only non-commercial, community-centered radio which dares to air opinions, ideas, news, and information which challenges the standard ruling order. We're looking to hear from five more callers this hour. That's five callers before 6 p.m. And that all starts with you. You can be caller number one towards that goal of five calls. 359-9338. $40 is basic membership in WEFT. It breaks down to very little per month. At $65, we'll give you one premium. You can choose a CD, a WEF t-shirt, or Robert McChesney's really great new book, The Problem of the Media. It's not yet available on the shelves. You can get it here from WEFT for just a $65 pledge. If you are interested in the media, and I hope you are because you're listening to WEFT, this is a book that should be on your shelf. 359-9338. And as we mentioned before, if you can step up to $120, which is just $10 a month, we'll give you Amy Goodman's new book, The Exception to the Rulers. Amy Goodman will be here on April 23rd on the Media Geek program, along with Charles Lewis's book, The Buying of the President, 2004. Really, really vital information that really supplements what you hear on public affairs programming here in WEFT. So please give us a call right now, 359-9338. So, Drew.
Yes, Paul.
We've done some research here, I know.
Yeah, we sure have.
You've done some good stuff. You're going to be telling us a little bit more about the Illini Media Company in a few moments. But I thought that we'd start with an overview, because a lot of people don't even realize, you know, it's all around us. We kind of see them one at a time, TV, radio, newspapers. We don't really think about what the big picture is. And so, actually, usually radio and television are defined in terms of markets. It's a geographic area. And what probably a lot of people don't realize is in TV, we're a three-city market. They actually include Champaign, Decatur, and Springfield. All together is one big market, because like Channel 3 covers all those. Channel 49 covers all those. And there's Channel 15 here, which is a sister station to Channel 20 in Springfield, and they're both an NBC affiliate. And that's the 83rd largest market in the country, according to Nielsen, with a total population of 345,000 people across these three cities and the areas in between. In radio, because the signals tend to be a little less powerful, they only cover Champaign-Urbana, so Champaign-Urbana is a single market. We're considered the 216th largest market, according to Arbitron, with a total population of 145,000 people. And in fact, there are now, and I think my math is wrong here as I look at it, which is good that I catch it now. There's actually 31 stations, AM, FM, and TV, in Champaign-Urbana area that broadcast out of Champaign-Urbana to Champaign-Urbana. And we have two daily newspapers in the mix. And out of this, which 33 different properties, there are 18 different owners. And out of that, which doesn't sound too concentrated, that means there's about 1.6 broadcast station for every owner. So every owner, on average, owns about 1.6 broadcast stations in Champaign-Urbana. Which, you know, when you hear about Clear Channel, which does not own any properties here, which owns 1,200 or more stations nationwide, it doesn't seem so concentrated. But when you actually start to break it down a little more, you realize that that's because there's a lot of companies like Prairie Air Incorporated, a nonprofit 501c3, which owns WEFT, only owns one station. But there are lots of companies that own multiple stations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what's interesting is amongst these companies that are locally owned, you know, based here in Champaign-Urbana, there are only seven. And of those seven, five are nonprofits.
Really? Five of those, huh?
Five of those seven are nonprofits, which when you think about it, that means that these are not stations generating revenue. These are not mm-hmm. stations generating ad revenue, which means that so much of the ad revenue generated in Champaign-Urbana does not stay mm-hmm. in Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah, I was going to say, that does sound like good news, but yeah, at the same time, that means that by and large, most of the media here is very much for profit, and the profit, exactly like you
said,
does not stay here.
So those nonprofits are the Illini Media Company, which Drew will tell us more about, the University of Illinois, which owns WILL, AM, FM, mm-hmm. and TV, Prairie Air Incorporated, which owns WEFT, Parkland College, which owns WPCD, 88.7 FM, and Good News Radio Incorporated, which owns a bunch of small Christian stations, WGNJ, WGNN, and something, a low-power station. It's actually a translator of the 102.5 FM. It just repeats the signal at 103.9 called W280DE. The two for-profit companies are Professional Impressions Media Group, which owns the News Gazette, WDWS 1400 AM, and WHMS 97.5 FM, which I will say has been resolutely local. They have done everything in their power not to sell out. We can say that for them. And WBCP Incorporated, which just owns 1580 AM. Those are all your local owners. So the non-local owners add up to 11. All of our TV stations are not locally owned except for the public TV station. And we'll get more into TV on the next time around. But big owners include Sinclair Communications, which is the largest owner of TV stations now in the country. Mm-hmm. It owns WICD TV Channel 15 and its sister station WICS TV 20. And Nexstar Communications is the other big one, which is WCIA TV Channel 3 and WCFN TV Channel 49. And Nexstar is a growing company, growing by leaps and bounds.
These are both very large companies mm-hmm. that own many TV stations across
the nation. Sinclair is a multi-million dollar company, makes mm-hmm. and its revenues are in the multi-millions every year. In radio, the biggest owner in town in terms of the largest company is Saga Communications. Saga concentrates primarily on markets about the size of Champaign-Urbana or Springfield, so in the 100,000 to 200,000 market. And they are all over the place, and we'll talk more about them. But they own three stations locally, and they're amongst the highest rated stations locally. WIXY-FM, WKIO-FM, also known as Oldies 92, and WLRW-FM, also known as Mix 94.5. The second, actually the largest owner stations in town, but they're smaller companies, AAA Entertainment. They're privately held. They're out of Pawtucket, Rhode Island, so it's very hard to get any sort of data on what their profits are because they are privately held. But they own scores of stations, and I'll talk more about them. And they own four stations locally, WBNB-FM, WEBX-FM, WGKC-FM, and WQQB-FM. And the interesting thing about those four stations is although they all call themselves Champaign-Urbana, mm-hmm. not a single one is actually licensed to Champaign-Urbana.
Really?
They're licensed to Rantoul, mm-hmm. Mahomet, and Tuscola. And originally those licenses were intended to serve those smaller communities. But
they've
now
upped their power. And
well, they didn't really even up their power. They, mm-hmm. The signal makes into Champaign-Urbana, and all the studios have all been centralized. I think they're out in West Champaign somewhere now. They used to be in downtown Urbana. And they all broadcast in there, but the transmitters are actually in all these other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of other non-local owners in radio, we have the Illinois Bible Institute in Carlinville, Illinois, owns WBGL-FM, 91.7 FM, which is a very powerful Christian station, and the Pensacola Christian College in Pensacola, Florida, owns a translator station repeating a signal from Pensacola at 88.1 FM. And that is a survey of your owners here in Champaign-Urbana. And you can see there are many, many are non-local. Hi, Sandra.
Hello. I got a question for
you. Sure.
So to explain, when you're listening to a radio station and they say the call letters and then they say they're from a certain town, but they always say like Rantoul first or
That's
whatever.
That's right.
Because originally Rantoul was, they wanted every little town to have their
That's
own
right.
radio station.
That was
station.
The original idea behind FM broadcasting, is that because it's very regional, because FM signals don't go very far, that all these towns like Mahomet, like Rantoul, should have local service radio.
Right. And so that you could find out about news that was happening in your town.
That's right.
And I always.
And Champaign-Urbana wasn't so big by comparison, let's say, when a lot of these licenses were assigned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whenever you hear that, it's always just a clue to me, like, no, I know they're primarily here in Champaign, but they're, say, Monticello first or whatever it is. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we got three pledges in.
That's great.
We've got a pledge from Jason, who gets himself a t-shirt and one
Wonderful.
Of those books that we've got. We've got a pledge from Ben, who pledged at the frequency pledge
hey,
amount. That's
wonderful.
The $90.10.
That's a great level.
Exactly. And we've got a pledge from Kim, who called in, and she's got herself a membership so that she can vote.
She's my studio mate. We're artists
oh, really?
Together, yes. And I told her today, I said, like, Kim, like, I turned you on to WEF now. she's new to the area, and she's actually from out in Berkeley. And she was just thrilled to have WEF here. She was absolutely tickled.
That's right,
find
because
out
she's used
it.
To having KPFA out
That's
there.
Right, that's right. And, you know, and she just appreciates it. She appreciates the
that's
music shows.
Hear.
She appreciates the public affairs shows. So she's really happy to be able to be a first-time pledger here with mm-hmm. WEF, too. We'd like to hear from you, too, 359-9338, at any of these various levels. We'd love to hear from first-time pledgers, but it'd be really good to hear from you at the...
Our goal is to hear from two more people.
We
and I would love
that.
To see us break that wide open.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I mean, that is so much fun. And it's happened on a few shows, and it certainly happened last Saturday morning.
It's
where
Friday
the calls,
night. Make it a party for
we're
us
We're just
here.
Coming through. So 359-9338. As we mentioned, $40 is basic membership. That gets you in the door here. It makes you a member, allows you to vote for our board of directors or become a volunteer like all of us have, or even get on the air. And it's a wonderful opportunity, and it really makes you part of the WEF community. And at $65, we want to thank you with a premium, a CD, which you can ask Sandra about when you call at 359-9338, a WEF t-shirt, or Robert McChesney's new book, The Problem of the Media. Robert McChesney is a professor at the Institute of Communications Research here in Champaign-Urbana. We're really, really, really lucky to have him here at the University of Illinois, and he continues to write really impeccably researched books. And he is, in many ways, single-handedly reinvigorated what's called the political economy of communications and looking
say,
at this nexus.
He knows so much about media, and he gives these books as premiums because he wants mm-hmm. to support WEFT. I mean, he supports WEFT in many ways, actually, but this is one of the ways is that he provides these books for our listeners who call in at these levels because he knows the value of community radio. So give us a call. I'm at the phones, and so is Dave, and so is Ben. So we are out there waiting for your calls. We're having a little party and waiting for your call. 359-9338.
So, Drew, you joined Media Geek last year, or was it this year?
It was actually
the very beginning of
last year, at the very end of last year. That's
very
right,
end of
I jumped
last year.
On.
Boy.
So I've been here for only about 4 months, and yeah, that's, you know, this is my first experience with radio in general, you know, aside from a few little help-outs with some friends who have had other college radio stations, but, you know, I've never seen such a community atmosphere until I got to Champaign-Urbana. You know, I come from the suburbs of Chicago, where there is absolutely no community media there whatsoever. None. You have commercial radio stations, you have commercial papers, and, you know, usually they're produced out of just Chicago. The papers that come out, they have, like, there's the Daily Herald where I come from, which is sort of a northwest suburbs kind of paper. But when I got here, you know, I realized that there is this community radio station where the community is actually involved in not only making the radio, but deciding how the radio structure is run, you know. And this is something that we've talked about a lot on this program, I know, and this is something that I've been trying to read up more on myself mm-hmm. since I've gotten out of school, is trying to connect the dots between, you know, who runs the radio, who runs the media, and what kind of media you're served up as a result of that, you know. So, So I got involved with Media Geek because I feel like it's important for us to understand the roots of where this media comes from, and it's important for us to understand what independent media means. It's important for us to understand what grassroots media really means, and And I think I've come to understand different things about those, and I hope that, you know, I hope that people who listen to this show can sort of come to understand some other things about those. You know, I don't want to go on too long about
participation, because it's great to have someone to work with, and that's, you know, in radio. And, you know, I got to know you because you came through the IMC. We started working in the IMC's video group together. That's the Independent Media Center.
I started doing that 8 months ago. So.
And you were, and I could tell, I mean, you were very interested in all these things, and the video group always has these, you know, extra meetings after our usual meetings over at the Embassy Bar in downtown Urbana. And we get into really, you know, lively conversations about this stuff. And yeah, you seemed really piqued, and it seemed really cool. And when you offered to come in and help out and be producer, it's been great. And it's really reinvigorated my interest in the show, which really wasn't waning, but it's really been great to have the cooperation. You bring in your own perspective, and plus you've been involved in lots of your own sort of pursuits over the years. And you've been out of school for about a year or so?
Yeah, about a year now. I just graduated from the university here, so I've still got myself some connections there at the Illini Media Company.
So yeah, I mean, you know, the Illini Media Company is like the media which is in many ways focused right on students, although in recent times they've definitely seemed to branch out a little bit about and try to target more of the surrounding community and not just the students. So maybe you've done some research, and I think most people don't know. I mean, they know there's this Daily Line. I know that there's a Planet, and some people think the Planet is owned by the university, and some people think the Daily Line is published by, like, you know, the U of I Journalism Department. And that's not actually true.
No, I mean, it's definitely not.
So you can tell us more about this company, which runs a radio station and a newspaper here.
Yeah, they do.
Urbana.
They have a radio station. They have a newspaper. They have a couple of other local technical publications. There's one called the Technograph, and I'm spacing out on another one. There's another.
They also do the yearbook, the
yearbook. That's right, the Ilio. So those are kind of the, you know, very student organization oriented. But the Daily Illini, the Planet, WPGU FM, and then now the Buzz, which I talk to, because the Buzz has gone through some recent changes in sort of how they run their editorial staff, and I'll get into that in this little piece I wrote. You'll have to forgive me, I wrote it, but I'll try to keep it as fresh as possible. So the Illini Media Company was originally called the Illini Publishing Company, which was chartered by the state in 1911 as a nonprofit publishing corporation. So it is a nonprofit corporation. It does, they get all their revenue from ads, but they are for not for profit. I'll get into more of that later. And they're independent of the University of Illinois, so they say. Its charter requires, though, that a number of faculty members and students from the university sit on their board of directors. And currently that's 4 faculty members and 4 students, I think. I'm not quite sure about this number because the board seems to be nebulous to some of the editors there. But you know, they kind of have these infrequent contacts with them. Plus, they have other members of the community that they have invited to come on the board, though, like such as the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. And so the company is set up to be run day-to-day by the head publisher, who sort of acts as the boss that runs the day-to-day activities there. And she acts under authority from the board of directors. And board members are elected by the board, and the board appoints the student managers and editors that run the different media wings. And so I talked to the editor of The Buzz, Marissa Monson, about her experiences as a student editor at the Illini Media. Marissa is a school editor, hip to Professor Bob McChesney's criticism of media conglomeration, and a fan of Professor Bill Gaines' quest to uncover Deep Throat's identity. So she likes investigative journalism, and she likes Bob McChesney's connection of ownership. The Buzz officially separated from the Daily Illini in March 2003. In a coming-out letter from the previous editor in July 2003, The Buzz declared, quote, "We are not the mainstream media. We are an alternative weekly," end quote. Marissa speaks of the changes at The Buzz like a revolution. Quote, "We made it our own paper," end quote, she says, referring to the editorial independence from the DEI and their promise to serve the community outside of the university. With this declaration came other new promises from a new staff trying to change their Illini media landscape. I've been told even WPGU, The Planet, has been approved to switch formats to some kind of college radio. So, and I really don't know too much of the details about that. It's just kind of in the rumor stage at this point, but they have gotten this approved. But this move into the quote-unquote alternative market has gotten a rise out of the other alternative weekly, The Paper, prompting an editorial arguing that The Buzz should have stayed put in its supposedly chartered defined role as the university's pop culture lapdog. And Marissa has a vision of The Buzz instead, confronting students that, quote, "think the school is just a little cornfield town with not much culture," end quote. She thinks that more independent media, while not necessarily good for its own profit, is good for the community. The Buzz's new policy allows anyone to write an article subject to editorial review, and this is something that they really don't publicize very much. I was kind of surprised to hear it when she told me about it, but they let anyone write an article for them, supposedly, you know, anyone from
so
the
you don't
community.
Have to come from the university.
Exactly, you don't have
student.
To be a student, you don't even have to live in the state. They'll take anything, you know. If you they said they've had correspondences from people in England that have been here at the university, have had connections but no longer do. Similarly, the board of directors has the power of review, but by recent precedent has not used its power of veto or suggestion toward any of the media outlets that it has. So Marissa says that they've been really pretty easygoing about like the changes in the Planet and the changes in the Buzz. They really have not put their foot down on any of these changes that the students have tried to initiate. So the Illini Media Company is very much driven by those who choose to involve themselves in its projects. The editors and student managers have their own domains for the most part, but it looks like it would take a very motivated individual or group of individuals to enact changes within the structure of any of the Illini Media Company. There isn't as much room as, say, WEFT for creative structural input, but in a way, the Buzz's current state is a mini-coup from the previous editorial staff that was there. Public access is restricted in many ways, but some of the Illini Media have made claims to be responsive to their community, not their advertisers, such as The Buzz. And of course, the Illini Media Company pays its bills with ads and promotions, like any other for-profit media conglomerate, sadly. And of course, this either limits the amount of diversity and dissent that can be broadcast and published, or tightens the budget. You know, it kind of swings either way. For the most part, Illini Media has striven to provide students with a practical introduction to the media's industry environment, but this could theoretically change if a gutsy cadre of students allied with professors and the community decided to charge the gates. So in this way, Illini Media is much more open to internal and external criticism than most not local and non-local media enterprises. So I really, you know, I was skeptical of it going in, and I have to say that the Illini Media Company really could be an asset to this community, depending on what group of students
it's
are
even
there.
Fair to say that it is. I mean, even having that the Illini, the Daily Illini every day, they have done good investigative stories. In the past that I've seen, one that struck me about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, was about many Mexican immigrants who were working in Champaign-Urbana, but also traveling back to Mexico and sending money home. And it was a really well-written series. And a lot of it, like WEFT, I think, is about the students who decide to come in and what their objectives are. That is the sort of the double-edged sword of having media enterprises that are a little bit more open, is that you do rely on who comes in and what they want to do, but of course management can help to either put down the fertilizer and grow it, or can also put down the salt on the ground and kill it. And it sounds interesting that there's been these changes in the board of directors. And I would say, as a media consumer reading The Buzz and listening to The Planet, it seems to me there are changes. The Planet's doing more specialty programming.
Yeah, they are.
There's now a hip-hop show. There's the electronic show. There's a local show.
They've been doing those for a while. They're doing a sort of a look back now, which I've seen.
It's this weekend. Their 50th anniversary.
They've actually gotten heat for that. I've seen that, you know, from some other people that really want to keep The Planet in this very strictly commercial regimented
format. Modern rock,
right?
Yeah.
And they feel like a break in that format is a blow to the commercial rigidity of it, and actually hurts the reputation of The Planet. There were people espousing
right, and because I think people feel like then the alumni of The Planet have a hard time getting an industry, and it's really about reflecting what is the purpose of the station. Is it the service aspect, or is it trying to send kids into careers in radio? My own personal opinion is, if you want to get into radio, skip college and start emptying wastebaskets and doing voiceover work. Unless you want to get into public radio or community radio. The radio degree, of college is 4 years. You won't be in radio. We're moving at the latter. But that's just my opinion. And I knew a lot of friends who got into radio out of undergrad with me. I do want to note that the WPGU's ratings were up. In the last book in Arbitron in fall of 2003, puts them on par with the classic rock station WGKC and the hit top 40 station WQQB. And they had been way down actually in the spring, and so it's a pretty monumental increase into fall 2003, although they are behind the properties of some other owners that we're going to quickly review. But first, we'd like you to call us 359-9338. We'd like to say thanks to Ellen, who called in and made her pledge, leaving us with just one more call to go to hit our goal of 6 callers for this hour. We got one during Free Speech Radio News. We're waiting for one more. We had a 6 total for the hour. We've got our 5. One more, and that person can be you, 359-9338. Help us make the goal, because whenever we make our little goals, it gets us to our big goal. And when we get to our big goal, we end. It's steps along the way, and you are the next step when you call 359-9338. Basic membership is $40. Take a premium at $65, like Robert Richezzi's new book, The Problem of the Media. It's an essential reading for anyone interested in these topics. And if you want to go all the way up to $365, which is only $1 a day, which is cheaper than cable TV...
Yes, it is.
You get a WEF t-shirt, and we'd love to give you either a nice hardbound edition of Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States, and a hardcover, because it's the kind of book you'll go back to again and again. And it's big, so that hardcover binding stands up. Or a great wind-up in solar-powered radio. And that's really cool, because then you can listen anywhere without toxic batteries.
Exactly, and you hope that you'd be listening to WEFT.
We hope you'd be listening. So we're going to return to a quick overview now of what remains of Champaign-Urbana media companies in terms of radio and newspapers. And we talk about newspapers. The News Gazette is owned by Professional Impressions Media Group. The owner of the News Gazette, the chair of the board, passed away last year. I'm picking out my notes here. They've actually fallen through.
Oh, no.
It was Marian Stevic. Chinigo. She passed away last year, but made sure in her passing on that the company would stay local. So in addition to News Gazette, they own 2 radio stations, WHMS-FM, which is Light Rock 97.5, and WDWS-AM, which is 1400 AM News Talk, and the ones who, along with some local talk shows, bring you Rush Limbaugh.
Uh-oh.
They are the ones who bring you Rush Limbaugh.
Thanks, guys.
But the other bigger radio owners are AAA Entertainment out of Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Not much is known about them, because they are privately held, so they don't have to publish as much data. They own at least 15 stations that I know of. And again, this sort of thing isn't published a lot. And they own 4 stations locally. Again, none of which are licensed actually to Champaign-Urbana, but which are licensed to the cities of Mahomet, Rantoul, and Tuscola. But the studios are all in Champaign. And they also own stations in Peoria, where they now own 4, and in Pekin, just outside of Peoria, where they own 1 station. So they really own a lot in central Illinois. The second largest owner in Champaign-Urbana, but the largest company which owns radio, is Saga Communications out of Grosse Pointe, Michigan. They are publicly held. They own 49 FM stations, 27 AM stations, and 8 TV stations in 24 markets. So they are definitely expanding. They recently acquired stations in Asheville, North Carolina, which is market number 160. Champaign-Urbana is 216, where they bought 1 AM station for $2 million and 1 FM station for $8 million. And they bought 2 stations in Bucyrus, Ohio, B-U-C-Y-R-U-S, which is not on the Arbitron map. Maybe a rim shot into a larger city, I don't know. They have 1 AM and 1 FM station they bought for $2.2 million. So probably a town small in Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. 2 stations for $2.2 million.
Really?
The last time stations changed hands here, it was for the $5 million mark, and when Saga bought Oldies 92, it was for $7 million. And I'm sure the value has only gotten to be more.
What is the strategy of these big stations that like to buy up sort of these really lower power stations in small towns? I mean, you know, it sort of seems like it's counterintuitive. You know, they'd want to be buying up just the big stations in the big cities.
Well, they can't afford them. So Saga goes for this sort of middle market. And if you buy a bunch of stations, at least 2 or 3, then what you can do is you can package the ad rates.
Okay.
And you can sell packages of advertising and for less than it would cost to advertise on 3 individual stations. And what they do is they combine them all in probably centralized studios, centralized programming. A lot of times they'll only have 1 program director or only 2 program directors for several stations. They can combine staffs. They can do a lot more automation. So what they do is they combine and cut costs, which makes them very profitable. If they're in Champaign-Urbana then, so you can dominate the market in many ways. And, and Saga does dominate. In terms of ratings, they are number 1 with country music, WIXY, Wixie. They own the number 1 station.
Wow.
And they own the number 4 station, which is WLRW, Mix 94.5, and the number 6 station ratings, Oldies 92. So that gives them a tremendous advantage when it comes to ads, to be able to say, we'll give you number 2, 4, and 6 in a package.
I see.
And of course, News Gazette owns the number 2 and 3, owns the number 2 and 3 station. WDWS is number 2, and WHMS is number 3. So each of these companies, although, you know, they together own 5 stations in terms of ad revenues and in terms of ratings, they're very dominant, and it means a lot of profit comes out of Champaign Banner. Trying to figure out where, how that money comes in is difficult because they do their best to obscure individual data like this, so I wasn't able to pull out too much out of their corporate reports. They're pretty dry. But I can tell you that Saga Communications has revenues of over $100 million a year with a net profit of about $40 million, which is pretty darn good. And I remember my radio professor back in college said radio license is a license to mint money.
Really?
It's the way he put it, because the cost really, compared to speaking, compared to getting into manufacturing goods and things like that, the profits are tremendous compared to the cost, and there's a lot of ways they can cut. And that is something we talk about all the time here on Media Geek.
That brings us to the close of another edition of Media Geek. We'll be back in 1 week with more news about grassroots and independent media and our media environment. In the meantime, you can catch up with independent media news at the Media Geek website, www.mediageek.org. There you can also download and listen to the archive editions of the program in MP3 in the open source Ogg Vorbis format. Media Geek is produced live at the studios of Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some pre-production happens at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. Media Geek's producer is Drew Tirico, and I'm Paul Riesmandel. The Media Geek radio show is free to rebroadcast by non-commercial stations for non-profit purposes. Please contact us for permission to excerpt. Email me at paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.